Chapter 18, Parikshit cursed by a Brahmana boy, text 19. Kutaha punar vinato nama tasya mahattamaikanta
Bhagavananda,
Jnana Shakti Bhagavananda,
Udhaka Jamananda.
माता जी Kutaha, what to say? Punaha, again. Vrinataha, one who chants. Ma nama, holy name. Tasya, his. Mahattama, great devotee. Ekanta, exclusive, parayanasya, of one who takes shelter of, yaha, one who, ananta, is the unlimited, shakti, potency, bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, anantaha, immeasurable, Mahat, great, Gunatvat, on account of such attributes. Yam, Kum, Anantam, by the name Ananta, Ahu is called. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotee, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called the Ananta, unlimited. Purport by Shiva. Please repeat after me. And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotee, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency, the personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental in attributes, is called the Ananta, unlimited. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the Dija Bandhu are the less intelligent, uncultured men born of higher caste, put forward many arguments against the lower caste men becoming Brahmanas in this life. They argue that birth in a family of Sudras or less than Sudras is made possible by one's previous sinful acts, and that one therefore has to complete the terms of disadvantages due to lower birth. And to answer these false logicians, Srimad Bhagavatam asserts that one who chants the holy name of the Lord under the direction of a pure devotee can at once get free from the disadvantages due to a lower caste birth. A pure devotee of the Lord does not commit any offense while chanting the holy name of the Lord. There are 10 different offenses in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. To chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting of the holy name of the Lord is transcendental, and therefore such chanting can at once purify one from the effects of all kinds of previous sins. The offenseless chanting indicates that one has fully understood the transcendental nature of the holy name and has thus surrendered unto the Lord. Transcendentally, the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself are identical, being absolute. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord. The Lord is the all-powerful personality of Godhead, and He has innumerable names which are all non-different from Him and are equally powerful also. In the last word of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that one who surrenders fully unto Him is protected from all sins by the grace of the Lord. Since His name and His form are all effects of, since His name and He Himself are identical, the holy name of the Lord can protect the devotees from all effects of sin. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord can undoubtedly deliver one from the disadvantages of a lower caste birth. The Lord's unlimited power is extended on and on by the unlimited expansions of the devotees and incarnation. And thus every devotee of the Lord and incarnation also can be equally surcharged with the potency of the Lord. Since the devotee is surcharged with the potency of the Lord, even fractionally, the disqualification due to lower birth cannot stand in the way. Kutah punai grinata nama tasya mahattamai kanta parayanasya Yonanta Shakti Bhagavan Ananta Mahat Gunatvar Yam Ananta Mahu. And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called the Ananta, unlimited. So, Sukha Goswami is very humbly describing to the sages of Naimisharanya that although he was born in the lower class and he by the mercy of the Lord is able to speak about the glories of the Lord because he has been blessed by the Lord because he has surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of God. There is the Varnashram. The Vedic culture is based on Varnashram. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned himself that it is he who has created the Varnashram system. The Varna Vibhag, the division of Varna, was created by Krishna himself. Chatur Varna Maya Shrishta Guna Karma Vibhavasa. The four varnas, Guna Karma Vibhavasa, has been created by me. Chatur Varna Maya Shrishta. These four varnas, Chatur Varnas, have been created by me, Maya Shrishta. How? Guna Karma. according to the division of guna and karma. Guna, karma, vibhava. Not by birth. That is the misunderstanding that has unfortunately entered in that system later on. Just birth is not enough. Rather, by birth, everyone is a sudra. Janmana jayate shudra. By birth, everyone is a shudra. And sanskarat bhavati dvija. By sanskar, one becomes a dvija. Dvija means, dvi means twice, ja, birth, twice born. It is by sanskar that one becomes a twice born. Twice born, first birth is the birth of the body, and second birth is the birth of the soul. So that is the second birth. The second birth takes place by sanskara. Sanskar. Sanskar means the process of purification. And what is that sanskar? How does that birth take place? That sanskara bhavati bija. That birth takes place by the process of initiation. When one surrenders unto a bona fide spiritual master, a bona fide teacher of the Vedic scriptures, then he gets his second birth. So this second birth, again, for birth, there is a need of mother and father. And in this second birth, the mother is the Vedas and the father is the spiritual. By the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master, one becomes introduced to the Vedas and one understands the teachings of the Vedas. Just the process of initiation again is not qualification enough. One must be properly qualified with the Vedic wisdom. Sometimes I point out that in our society we have introduced this, we have this process of second initiation. But often it is taken just the process of initiation. No study, no understanding of the Vedic scripture. He gets a faith and he becomes a Brahmana. No, we should be very careful that it doesn't happen like that. Then again you will become like the Yavandhu, unqualified Brahman. Illiterate Brahman. Does it sound all right? Brahman means scholar, pandit. So is there a question of illiterate pandit? Can it happen? Does it sound all right? Illiterate scholar? Will it be right? Grammatically, to say that. Jaya Shri Shri Radha Madhano, Jaya Shri Shri Krishna Balarama, Jaya Shri Shri Balarama. So one should become qualified. Prabhupada is giving the opportunity. Yes, we do not recognize that Brahmanas are by birth, Brahmanas by qualification. But that doesn't mean that anybody born in a lower class of any caste or family, just by getting the so-called initiation, becomes a Brahmana. If he is not, then he is useless. He is a Dija Bandhu. He got the initiation, but he is not qualified. So one must become qualified. It is a matter of qualification. And of course, in the Vedic culture in India in the early ages, it used to happen by God. A Brahmana's son used to be a Brahmana. Because he used to become trained up to become Brahmana. Like in the Vedic culture, we see, even now, we see a carpenter's son from his boyhood, from his little baby, when he is a little boy, he is learning carpentry. Isn't that normal? You see that the whole family, the father was a carpenter, his son is a carpenter. Why he is a carpenter? Because from his childhood he is learning to become a carpenter. Father is a goldsmith. The son also learns when his little boy, the art of goldsmith. So this way, traditionally, by birth, one used to get an exposure to the family tradition. Similarly, a Brahmana's son from his childhood used to be trained up to be a Brahmana. And also the birth, when the society is pure, then the birth also used to be pure. Generally, in the society, when the mother is a Brahmana and the father is a Brahmana, meaning qualified Brahmana, a Brahminical spirit soul will come to their home and take birth to the Brahmana. The Varnashanka of those days was very unusual. Like, for example, Kamsa was born as the son of Surasena. Ugrasena. Kamsa was born as the son of Ugrasena. Ugrasena was a Kshatriya. But Kamsa was a demon. Why was he born as the son of Ugrasena? Because one demon assumed the form of Ugrasena and had copulation with his wife. And as a result of that, Kamsa was not Ugrasena's real son. He was actually a son of a demon. Similarly, as you can see, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. At an inauspicious time, Diti wanted to copulate with her husband. Wanted her husband to have sex with at an inauspicious time. And as a result of that, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha to demons. So these are the unusual happenings. Otherwise, a Brahmana's son used to be a Brahmana. But in the age of Kali, there is Varnashanka. No qualification. Those who are not Brahminical by qualification, naturally their children also will not be Brahminical. Especially in this age of Kali, Kali Yuga is the age of Varnashankara. And as a result of Varnashankara, the whole society has become so badly affected. And that is why a special introduction has been made in this age by personalities like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And prior to that also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this is the age of Varnashankara, in this age we cannot possibly accept the qualification of Varnashram. simply by birth. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this Hare Krishna Mahamantra can be chanted by him. In other regions, what to speak of Mahamantra, even an ordinary mantra could not be chanted by a non-Brahmana. Unless one is a Brahmana, unless one is qualified to study the Vedas, he was not given the opportunity. So that is the condition of this age of Kali. That is the advantage of the age of Kali. In one hand, the Varnashankar has entered in the Vedic Varnashram society, and as a result of that, Varnashram system has been destroyed. That is the disadvantage of this age. But the advantage is that anyone now has become eligible to practice the spiritual process. In other ages it was not possible. In other ages, if one was a Vaishya, he had to be a Vaishya until the end of that life, because the understanding was he has to go through his prarabdha. He has to go through his sinful activities, finish them off in this life, and then become qualified in the next life to be elevated to the other platform. That was the general custom in other ages. There are only some very rare occasions, like we saw, what an endeavor he had to make for that. Like Vishwamitra wanted to become a Brahmin. Vishwamitra was a Kshatriya. He was a king. But by seeing Vasishtha's Brahminical qualities and power, he wanted to become a Brahmin. But he had to undergo so much difficulty and austerity and penance to eventually become a Brahmin. So one could become, but after a long endeavor. Vishwamitra, and that also powerful personalities like Vishwamitra. But in this age, it has become available to anyone. But does it mean that he should, just because it has been available, he doesn't have to make an endeavor? Sometimes I get requests from temple presidents. Please give Brahmanical initiation to such and such. And he is illiterate. He can't read or write. Why give Brahmanical initiation? Because we need a pujari. That is another introduction that is coming in our society, which you should be very, very careful about. That's why I made a system now. If anybody wants to take a Brahmanical initiation, he must have Bhakti Shastra. He should be qualified. Otherwise, why should he become a Brahman? If he is illiterate, then let him be illiterate. There is no harm. He can render other service. And all services are absolute. It is not that Brahminical service is the highest and washing pots in the kitchen is lowest, or sweeping the temple room is lowest. No. All service, washing the pot and worshipping the deities are of the equal level. Krishna is not seeing who is illiterate and who is pandit. Krishna is simply seeing one's ability to do something properly. Like, if you can't do something properly, then why should I do it? If I can't paint, and I say, okay, I will paint, and I take brush and color and I start to paint, what will come out of it? Will it be something like as beautiful as this? Huh? No. It will be a mess. And at the most, it will be a modern painting. So a painter must know how to paint. If I can't drive a car, And if I sit in the driver's seat and start to drive, what will happen? I'll destroy the car and I'll kill myself. Right? Therefore, it is important that one learns the art first, to be active, to be engaged in that activity. If somebody doesn't know how to fight and goes to battlefield with a gun, what will happen? He'll die. Will he be able to fight? No. So qualification is the most important consideration. Unless you are not qualified, you should not do that. But nowadays what is happening? Doing the thing is not important. What is important is making money. Whether you are qualified or not, you get the position somehow or other and you get the money. Like nowadays people, most of the people are actually running after job. Job means sugar. Nokri karta hai. Nokri karne ka matlab kya hai? Nokar banta hai. Hai na? To nokar matlab shudra hai. Jo nokri karta hai, wo shudra hai. Brahman, kshatriya, vaishya nokri nahi karta. Aur wo nokri bhi kaise karta hai? Mera chacha ka dost hai, bade position mein. उसलिए मेरा रिकमेंडेशन मिल गया है, नौकरी भी मिल गया है. क्वालिफिकेशन है या नहीं, कोई सवाल नहीं. और भी होता है आजकल, कोई पार्टी का ये है कैंडिडेट है, चलो इसको पोजीशन दे, बड़े पोजीशन मिल गए, परंतु कोई योग्यता नहीं. तो उससे क्या होगा? योग्यता नहीं है मतलब वो काम नहीं कर सकेंगे, और काम नहीं करने से क्या होगा? सारे कुल बर्बाद हो जाएंगे. अगर योग्यता नहीं है, केवल पोजीशन मिलने से काम होता है? आजकल हो रहा है. हाँ, जो सारे जो नौकरी है 40% लोअर कास्ट, चाहे वो अनपढ़ हो या पढ़े लिखे हो, उसका सवाल नहीं है. लोअर कास्ट है, चलो 40% में आ गए हैं, मिल गए हैं, बड़े नौकरी मिल गए हैं. IAS बन गए हैं, डिस्ट्रिक्ट मजिस्ट्रेट कलेक्टर बन गए हैं, बल्कि अनपढ़. उसका क्वालिफिकेशन क्या है? उसका क्वालिफिकेशन है वो लोअर कास्ट, अछूत है, बस चलो उसको नौकरी मिल गए. तो इससे क्या होगा? अच्छुत है, चलो पायलट का पोजीशन है 40% है, वो पायलट है, प्लेन चलाना आता है या नहीं उसका कोई सवाल नहीं, क्योंकि वो लोअर कास्ट के है, चलो उसको पायलट करना है. तो क्या हो, उस प्लेन में कोई चलेगा? कोई बुद्धिमान तो नहीं चलेगा. ठीक है, छोड़िए, पायलट भी नहीं, वो टैक्सी चलाना, गाड़ी चलाना. कोई अगर गाड़ी नहीं चलाना सकता है, चलाना नहीं आता है, तो वो उसको चलाने देने से क्या हो? सत्यनाश हो, है ना? और जान भी खतरे में होगा. तो इसलिए सबसे पहले योग्यता का विचार, केवल पोजीशन मिलने से, नौकरी मिलने से ही नहीं होगा. तो इसलिए आज क्या हुआ, आज का जो समाज है ये शूद्र का समाज बन गया है. नहीं तो समाज का नेता कौन होता था? ब्राह्मण समाज का नेता होता था, समाज के चार परिचालना करने वाला था ब्राह्मण. ब्राह्मण के निर्देश के अनुसार समाज चलता था, और क्षत्रिय ने उसको एग्जीक्यूट कर, ब्राह्मण उपदेश देते थे और राजाओं ने उसका परिचालना करते थे। और उस समय भारत की कितना समृद्धि था, तब भारत सारा दुनिया में सबसे श्रेष्ठ सबसे वरिष्ठ देश था। और उस समय क्षत्रियों ने इतना बलवान थे, इतना शक्तिशाली थे कि भारत में कोई भी प्रवेश नहीं कर पा रहा। बहुत सारे आदमी भारत को आक्रमण किया था पर कोई भी भारत में प्रवेश कर पाया। केवल लगभग 1000 साल पहले भारत में विदेशी को प्रवेश हुआ था। वो भी कैसे हुआ था भारत में प्रवेश? पृथ्वीराज चौहान ने भारत को सीमांत का प्रदेश को रक्षा कर रहा था। मोहम्मद घोरी ने कितने बार आया भारत को आक्रमण करने के लिए? 17 बार आक्रमण किया। पर उसको भगा दिया, पराजित करके भारत भगा दिया। और वो भी बहुत ये था, डिटरमिंड था वो भी। उसको भी मोहम्मद घोरी भी बहुत बलवान थे और ये भी थे, जेदी थे, जिद्दी थे कि हमको करना ही। तो बाद में वो क्या किया, पृथ्वीराज चौहान और जयचंद के बीच में कुछ ये हो रहा था, संघर्ष हो रहा था। उसको सुजग लेके वो जयचंद के साथ हाथ मिलाया और पृथ्वीराज को हराया। नहीं तो पृथ्वीराज को कोई हराने वाला नहीं। तो देखिए कैसे शुरू हुआ कलियुग का प्रवेश यहां भारत में, वापस से लड़ाई होनी थी। अगर पृथ्वीराज और जयचंद के बीच लड़ाई नहीं होता तो वो घुस नहीं पाता, मोहम्मद घोरी भारत में प्रवेश नहीं कर पाता। और मोहम्मद घोरी आया, साथ साथ सारे और बाकी मुसलमानों ने आकर भारत को एकदम बर्बाद किया। नहीं, उन्होंने भारत को बर्बाद नहीं किया, मैं तो बोलूंगा कि भारतवासियों ने भारत को बर्बाद किया। ये इल्जाम भारतवासियों का है। Well, yeah, I can see somewhere in some corners there is a consideration question, what's going on? Okay, I'll explain why. It is only by qualification that one should get the position. Varnashram means position according to qualification. But now what has happened? Now the society has become the society of Shudras. And Shudra means service. Servant. The word nokri is the Hindi word for job. Nokri, very simple word. Nokri means job, nokar. Nokar means servant. We also say civil servant. Big position, a civil servant. Servant. So in this age, like everyone wants to have a job. Everyone is studying. Why? He has a big student, big brilliant student in MIT. But what does he want? Or a big student from London School of Economics or Harvard University or Stanford University. But what he wants after he passes out? He applies for a job. Will you please make me your servant? Right? So that is how we can see everyone is actually trying to get a job. Why does he want to get a job? Because job means money. Whether I'm qualified to make money or not doesn't matter. But I'll get the money. So in this society, the qualification is not a consideration. Money has become the main consideration. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhur Mohan Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Gauravitan Ki Jai. And qualification is no consideration. Somehow or other, to get the position has become a consideration. Like in India, there is a system called, what is it called? Sanction. Quota. The lower caste of people has a quota, 40%. 40%, now they want to have something. Anyway, big number. Well, so then the qualification is not the qualification. The qualification is that he is lower caste. Whether he is illiterate or literate doesn't matter. If he is lower caste, he will get a job. Now one example I gave, like if there is a quota for pilots from lower caste. Now whether he knows how to fly the plane or not, but because he is lower caste, he becomes a pilot. Now if that happened, will anyone fly that plane? Or if he flies the plane, that qualifies. Or a simple consideration, if there is this consideration of appointment because of lower caste, and if you're a driver, somebody becomes a driver without knowing how to drive the car, but because he is coming from lower caste and gets the position, will you drive that car? Then not only the car will be in danger, you will be in danger, and he himself will also be in danger. That is why we should always consider that it's a qualification that's the most important consideration. Brahmana means qualified. Kshatriya means qualified. What is the Brahmana? Brahmana knows scriptures. He knows the scriptures. He knows the spiritual knowledge. Kshatriya means he knows how to fight. Vaishya means he knows how to run a business. So these three higher classes, they never used to take up a job. They would not submit and work for money. They are all independent. Brahmana will be independent. Kshatriya will be independent. Vaishya will be independent. And of these three, the Brahmanas are the highest. Next is the Kshatriya, and then after that the Vaishya. And then the Shudras, who can't do anything themselves. Yes, they work under the direction of somebody and get the maintenance. They get the maintenance because they can't take care of themselves independently. So that is the principle of Anashram. It is not just some formality of some ritual. So here Śrīla Gosvāmī is explaining that although he was born in a non-Brahmana family, Sūta is the father, the father is a Kshatriya, mother is a Brahmana, something like that. I have to check that. This is how he is a non-Brahmana. And so he was not a pure Brahmana. And he's admitting that I'm not a Brahmana, but because I have surrendered unto the Lord and received the mercy of my spiritual master, I am here able to guide you, able to teach you, able to describe the glory of the Lord. And you can see in that assembly there were many exalted Brahminical personalities, but they all invited Śrīla Gosvāmī. Why? Although he was not a Brahmana, he was invited. Why? Because they considered that he was the most qualified. Taya Khalu Puranani Sheti Hashani Chananya Akhatanda Pabhitani Dharma Shastrani Dharma. The sages of Naimisharanya, when they offered the seat to Suta Goswami, that's what they described. You know the Taya Bhamu Purana, you know the Purana very well. Taya Khalu Puranani, Sheti Hashani Chana. You also know the Itihash, Ramayana and Mahabharata. And Akhatanna Padhidhani, Dharma Shastrani Yamata. And you know all the Dharma Shastras, like Manu Samhita and all the other such scriptures. And on top of everything, you are on Abha. You are sinless. Abha means sin. And anabha means sinless. You are sinless. That's why you are qualified. And although we may be very exalted brahmanas, we sit at your feet to receive the knowledge. So in this verse, Gautama pointed out that it must be recognized according to one's position, must be recognized according to his qualification. So according to qualification. Like we try, we see. We put, there are some responsibilities to somebody. We try, give some position, try him out. But if he's not qualified, then what we do? We say, don't you do something else. And when one is qualified, then everybody is happy. When somebody in a higher position is properly qualified, then he'll manage everything so nicely that everyone will be happy. Which means everyone will render his service properly, and as a result of that, everything will go on very smoothly. If someone is good at cooking, let him cook. If someone is good at washing pots, let him wash pots. But if Ganga Narayan and Bhimal Vishnu decide that, oh, he is our favorite. So although he is good at washing pots, but cooking is a better responsibility, give him to cook. And we don't like the person who is cooking, so let him go and wash the pots. Then what will happen? Do you think he'll be able to take prasad nicely? No. And do you think the pots will be cleaned properly? No. So everything must be done according to qualification. And everybody has some quality. Everybody is good at doing something. And the leaders must understand who is good at what service. That is the qualification of a leader. He knows the propensity. The propensity of an individual, and accordingly he engages. It is a Varnashankar, everything is mixed up. So very expertly we have to learn, we have to see who is good at what. Then only things will have gone nicely. Otherwise nowadays what is happening? Actually it happened the other day also, not other day, some few months ago. I went to meet the chief minister of one state with a very important businessman. So at the end of our meeting, the chief minister was telling the businessman, I have a candidate, can you give me a job? And the businessman said, yes, send me, I'll give you a job. Now, what is his qualifications? He is chief minister of Bhatiya. And the businessman will think, oh, his chief minister is bhatija, so I have to give him. His chief minister is nephew, so I have to give him a big position. Now, he gets a big position because he is chief minister's nephew. But the people, those who are working under him, their life will become hell. Because they are not qualified. The situation is like, you give the position of a driver to somebody who doesn't know how to drive. So ISKCON is here to rectify that problem. It's a big problem in the society. All kinds of unqualified people are in leadership position. Therefore, what ISKCON has to do? ISKCON has to produce real leaders. And that is how the society can be saved. Qualified leaders. That's why the training is to qualify people for their respective position. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Go bring them in. Shri Prabhupada.